The Author Meets the Critic. It's The Author Meets the Critics, the original program where the author of a new book meets and exchanges his opinions with his severest critics, the nation's top book reviewers. And now here's your guest chairman, a newly appointed editor of Harper's Magazine, Mr. Merle Miller.
Listeners to this program have long been accustomed to hearing Mr. John K.M. McCaffrey as its regular chairman. Mr. McCaffrey, lucky man, is in Hollywood this week, and in his absence, I've been asked to keep the peace while the author meets the critics. On other occasions, as some of you know, I've been for and against books on the broadcast, but this afternoon, under very strict instructions, I hope to steer the middle course while allowing the critics to roam freely with no restraints, no prompting, and with no instructions for them except to say what they will, when they will. Our brave authoress this afternoon is Gwen Davenport, whose new novel is entitled Belvedere. We'll tell you more about Belvedere in a little while. But briefly, before you hear the critics, you might like to know that this is the story of a couple who cracked under the strain of raising three small children. And in a moment of despair, they advertised in the Saturday Review of Literature, of all places, for a critic and a babysitter, and they got a genius whose name was Belvedere. I might add one more thing. All of you moviegoers will be interested to know that 20th Century has bought the book, and a man named Clifton Webb is going to play the genius Belvedere. Well, now, I think we ought to turn to our critics. We ought to find out what they think about Belvedere, and as a matter of fact, what they think about babysitters, and perhaps about babies as well. And so, in the order of procedure on this afternoon's program, we'll start out with Russell Maloney, a well-known man who's a critic and a humorist, Mr. Russell Maloney.
This is, of course, the season for what the reviewers and booksellers call summer fiction, or hot weather reading. As the mercury rises in the thermometer, we relax our standards to a corresponding degree. We turn from Dostoevsky to Fanny Hurst. The hotter it gets, the more relaxed our literary requirements. And now, with the dog days, we get Belvedere. My interest is meteorological rather than literary, but I would like to ask Mrs. Davenport just one question. How hot does she think it can get?
I might add to those of you who are just listening to the program, luckily this afternoon the studio is air-conditioned. And in case any of you didn't get it, Mr. Maloney didn't like Belvedere. Of course, I think what he's doing really is only representing the male point of view. I think now we ought to hear from the other side. A distinguished author and a very well-known critic, and incidentally, an experienced hire of babysitters, Virgilia Peterson.
What? I was just going to say that one of the troubles with Mr. Maloney is that he isn't a mother. I like Belvedere. I'm all for a book which champions the only unprotected slaves left in our modern society, and that is mothers. It's a tough life making people out of babies. And it's quite tough getting their fathers to help with the job. This is what Mrs. Davenport brings out in her rather mad farce, and that's why I like it. There's only one thing I'm sorry about in this story, and that is that the mother in Belvedere didn't have the good luck I had in finding babysitters.
Well, there you have the reactions of two critics, one who's for and one who's against. And in a little while, they're going to meet the author, Gwen Davenport, in what we hope will be an informal and non-physical tug of war. Later in the program, too, you'll be hearing from a professional, honest-to-heaven, real-life, in-the-flesh babysitter. But first, here's a word from your announcer.
This series of broadcasts, sponsored by the Book of the Month Club, is designed for everyone who likes good books, and particularly for the thousands of members of the Book of the Month Club in this area. The book to be discussed today, Belvedere by Gwen Davenport, is one of the nearly 50 books now being offered to members as alternate selections. Any of these books may be chosen in addition to or in place of the regular Book of the Month, and they earn the same book dividend credit as the Book of the Month. These alternate books are chosen to serve the wide variety of literary tastes and interests of members of the club, and the list includes such books as Christ Stopped at Eboli by Carlo Levy, The Story of Modern Art by Sheldon Cheney, The Big Sky by A.B. Guthrie, Jr., Explaining the Atom by Selig Hecht, The Road to Music by Nicholas Slonimsky, The Common Sense Book of Baby and Child Care by Benjamin Spock, M.D., and many, many more current important books covering a wide field of interest. These books can, of course, be secured at any time by members through the Book of the Month Club and by anyone at the local bookstore. Now back to Mr. Miller.
Well, we've heard two people this afternoon talking about a book called Belvedere, a new novel. Mr. Maloney seems not only to be against the book, but against babysitters, against motherhood, and, well, all of the fine American institutions. Miss Peterson, on the other hand, is 100% American. She's for motherhood and babysitters. I think we might tell you just in a couple of sentences. The family in this story, a very young mother and father, the man is a Harvard graduate, unfortunately. The mother went to Vassar. I've known some nice Vassar girls, too. And they have a baby. It's 1944. They live in Louisville, Kentucky, on Hummingbird Hill, of all places. In any case, in a moment of desperation, they advertise in this literary magazine called The Saturday Review of Literature. They find the copy, I might add, under a soiled towel in the bathroom. But having found it, they advertise for a babysitter, and they correspond for a very few minutes, or for a very few weeks, rather, with a Lynn Belvedere. Now, the idea is that they'll have a writer who wouldn't mind having three delicate, lovely children. About delicate and lovely are the mother's descriptions, not mine. In any case, after about 3 weeks of correspondence, they get the babysitter, who instead of turning out to be a petite, lovely, literary-type young authoress, is a large, ugly, hulking male, Lynn Belvedere. I think we can go on from there. Mr. Maloney, you were rather nasty, I thought, in describing this book. Would you mind continuing for just a few seconds being a very nasty man?
Well, I deplore the notion that you can just reach out and get a sitter. I realize that if the race is going to go on, you must have sitters.
Is this the human race you're
speaking
of? No,
yes.
I see, okay.
But I have been lucky so far. I should explain. I've got a 2.5-year-old child. And I am sweating out this period of childhood. It'll grow up eventually. Meanwhile, we have been very lucky in just getting obliging neighbors to come in, you know. And the thought of the unionized sitter, whom you always have to take home, she lives an infinite distance away, and you're out making merry, you see, and all of a sudden this damp thought strikes you. I've got to go home and take the sitter home. I'd rather stay home myself all evening.
Well, you apparently have never known any nice babysitters. Now, Miss Peterson, on the other hand, is an enthusiast for babysitters. She wishes there were more of them, but those she has met, she's liked very much. Isn't that right, Miss Peterson?
Well, I never had to take a sitter home, and I think Miss Preston will boil over
did.
In a minute if you talk about unionized babysitters. They're not any more unionized than mothers.
Or babies.
Well, no, it seems to me we
God
might get
help
back.
Us when they get unionized, excuse me.
We might get back just briefly to the book. That is, after all, why we're here this afternoon. There has a book been written. It's called Belvedere. Let's talk for just a second about the literary merits or lack of literary merits of this hot weather fiction,
all right.
Mr. Maloney says.
All right.
Is it a good book or a bad book?
You brought it up, Mr. Miller. It's not a good book.
Is it a funny book?
Well, it seems to me that babysitting and the problems of babysitters and of parents are a little more gruesome than funny. No, I don't think it's a thing to joke about, really.
How about you, Miss Peterson? You, I assume, have babysitters all the time, and you look upon this tolerantly. Do you look upon the book as tolerantly as that? Are you for it?
I think there are certain things in the book which perhaps Mr. Maloney is not quite delicate enough to perceive. There is, for instance, a perfectly good theme that the type of girl, as I was some 50 years ago, who went to college dreamed of some sort of a career. That type of girl, when she gets stuck with a family and nobody to help her and has to do the cooking and the washing and keep the babies quiet and teach them manners and so forth and soothe the husband when he comes home, has quite a problem to face. This lady in the book wanted to be a sculptress, and she had quite a talent for sculpture, but what she found she was sculpting was the diapers. And that's pretty tough to face, a la longue.
Well, you see, the trouble with Mr. Maloney is he's a very lucky man. All he does all day is sit over a nice, cool typewriter writing witticisms. At least usually they're witticisms,
yes.
Aren't they, Mr. Maloney?
And inevitably they are, yes. And also, I don't mind having the baby around when I do it.
I mean, you really can create
really,
with a small tot going around the room.
She can be playing with blocks or any sort of thing like that. And I object to hiring somebody. I don't admit that I can't do it myself.
I see. Well, you don't like to spend many evenings away from home, then, apparently.
Well, as
and Miss Peterson, on the other hand, likes to go nightclubbing once in a while.
Can't wait to get out of the house.
Oh,
just
I
the
can't
type.
Keep
I know.
Out of the store.
Right. Well, there you have it. We have a home-type man, and we have a mother who likes to stay home or sometimes go to a nightclub. Now, I think we ought to have the young lady who has been sitting here very patiently, less patiently when Mr. Maloney was speaking than when Miss Peterson was speaking, our authoress. You ought to meet, I think, our authoress of the afternoon, Miss Gwen Davenport. Would you like Mrs. Davenport to talk back just a little bit to your critics?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Miller. Thank you, Mrs. Peterson.
Mr. Maloney?
I'm not going to answer Mr. Maloney's rhetorical question about the weather, because I think people who talk about the weather are just dull, usually.
That puts Mr. Maloney in his place.
I agree that Belvedere is summer reading, light, trivial to the point, meager to the point of invisibility, or at least explicitly. But I do think that implicitly, there's a little bit more to it than Mr. Maloney gives it credit for. It has a base of a warm, happy, solid family solidarity, which I think is something to its credit and isn't very easy to write about.
Did you write the book, Mrs. Davenport? I think this we ought to know. Did you write it as a book which was humorous or a book to be taken seriously?
No, Belvedere is supposed to be funny. I'm sorry Mr. Maloney didn't find it so.
It is funny.
But I will say this in its defense, that it's the first instance in literature, so far as I know, and of course Mr. Maloney wouldn't call it literature, of the babysitter as a main character. So until somebody else writes a book about the babysitter, this will be the definitive work on the subject.
Well, there.
Mr. Maloney, would you like to answer back?
There, the author has a point. I must admit that I have become somewhat more intrigued about this book after finding out that Clifton Webb is going to play the part. The notion of Clifton Webb minding my baby has an eerie fascination. it'll probably be a very good movie, and I'll have to take back everything I've been saying.
I'd like to just get a couple of cents worth in here and ask Mrs. Davenport whether she thought Belvedere himself was an amusing character. I might add, considerable charm in the book. I found much humor in it. I thought parts of it were very funny. But I wondered about Belvedere. He seemed to me kind of a hulking brute type man to write a book. Now, was he supposed to be funny?
Well, really, Mr. Miller, I don't think Belvedere is a good character myself. There isn't any characterization. He's really farcical. Whereas, in contrast to the other characters, who are very real, I think, that is, I think the children act like real children, and I think the parents are quite human. They're thoroughly exasperated most of the time and adore the children as soon as they're asleep.
Well, it's on the level, if I may interrupt, and I may, if I may interrupt to say this, that the level on which they are realistic and human is that of the next-door neighbor who bothers you. They are just as annoying as a real person would be.
How can you be so snobbish?
Oh, I can easily.
The world is made up of a next-door neighbor.
I'd like, if I might, to cut off this conversation about next-door neighbors. I personally don't like mine at all, but it depends on the neighborhood where you live.
I hope they're not listening.
In any case, I think we now ought to turn just briefly to this real, in-the-flesh babysitter we have here in the studio. Her name is Miss Jane Preston. And she's not only a babysitter, but a writer as well. Miss Preston, I think we ought to find out, first of all, if you've read the book and did you like it?
Yes, I read the book Belvedere just this past week to be sure that I would keep some of the points in my mind. And it seemed to me that a really good character could have been made out of Belvedere instead of a more or less in-the-background shadow.
That noise you hear in the background at the moment is Mr. Maloney shaking hands with Miss Preston. Go on, Miss Preston.
That's very nice of Mr. Maloney. You see, I have been augmenting a white-collar salary for about 4 years by going into many, many families of all kinds, from very, very poor families on the east side to, I'd hate to tell you, how top-notch on Park Avenue.
Does it pay very well, Miss Preston? Is it something you'd recommend for a young lady or a young man?
Well, if you want to earn your living doing it, I would not recommend it.
What would you say some of the qualifications are? I should think at first you'd have to like children. That would be helpful,
wouldn't
it?
Absolutely. You have to like children because no matter what age the child is to whom you go, that child knows immediately by instinct whether or not you like children. And if you don't, pity help you.
Well, if all you children lovers get together now, are you organized into a union? Do you have a 48-hour week? Do you strike for higher salaries? How about that?
No, we do not. We have no union. I work through an organization known as Part-Time Child Care.
Plug.
They give me my calls, and I go, never knowing on a new family just what to expect. But fortunately, most of my calls are repeat calls.
Now, Mr. Maloney, what would you think of having someone of the type of Miss Preston who agrees with you, literarily at least, watching your child?
Well, I think that her criticism of Belvedere as a character was more professional. That is, professional chauvinism. And I discount it for that reason. I would like to ask Miss Preston, do you have to be taken home?
Well, very occasionally, someone knows me well enough to want to take me home.
I
know you well enough to want to take you home, and I never offered. I feel very badly. I've seen you totter off at 2 o'clock in the morning with a cheerful smile, never complaining at all.
Well, Miss Peterson,
I certainly wouldn't allow you to take me home, but occasionally a father will do so, especially if he has just brought wifey home in the car.
Well, Mrs. Davenport, I'd like to ask you a very personal question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. How would you feel about having your husband take Miss Preston home? Would you object?
Well, I have had to steel myself to the knowledge that my husband is going to have to be out at night with these attractive sitters if I'm ever going to get out at night myself.
And so you wouldn't object
if once in a while Miss Preston were there and took her home? No.
Miss Peterson, I think there's one thing we really ought to get straight here. Would you recommend Miss Preston as a babysitter for those who haven't seen her, who don't know her? Of course, she doesn't agree with you about books. That's one thing, but you wouldn't object
to
that, I guess.
She doesn't want to be plugged. She doesn't need it.
Mr. Maloney?
I'd leave my children with her with peritonitis.
Well, that's just the thing, you see. Unless your children do get peritonitis or something equally bad, or unless the house catches fire...
You say this rather hopefully.
The sitter does not function. The sitter is a kind of human fire alarm. And if something goes wrong, she's supposed to call you up. If nothing goes wrong, she does nothing. You could really train some of the lower animals to function that way. You needn't have
nonsense.
These personal references, Mr. Maloney, are entirely out of place. I think we ought to get back to the book.
Back to the book, just
for a second.
Sure. Nothing's been said about that marriage. That's not a bad description of a marriage at all.
You thought that would be a happy home. You wouldn't mind if that were the description of your own marriage, let's say. That was a good marriage.
I think if I were as willing to admit my mistakes and I had as tolerant a partner in life, I'd be very happy.
Breakup of the marriage, right at the end of the part two, I think.
Well,
the second part.
Isn't
a serious breakup at all.
You think those
purely
things
artificial happen? Artificial just to get it out of the house for a while.
Well, in other words, this was a literary trick rather than a story of what might actually happen.
Don't ever give away the tricks, Miss Davenport.
But
read them again.
I love the way Mrs. Davenport gets the self-pity of the woman who's at the end of her rope at the end of the day and works herself up and dramatizes herself and then knows what a little fool she's been after. That's so human. That is like women.
Well, Miss Preston, you have sat in, I imagine, on a number of marriages, at least watched them of an evening, mostly when they came back from the nightclub. What would you think about the marriage itself? Was it a good marriage or a bad one?
Well, in the majority of cases, the marriages have been perfectly normal and happy ones, but occasionally I have been involved in very difficult circumstances. I even had one of my fathers die in my arms one Sunday morning a little while ago. You never know what you're going to meet when you go out.
Did the mother kill him?
No, the mother did not. Unfortunately, we didn't know that the man was quite seriously ill, and before we could get help, he had just had a heart attack and died.
Well, very often I think that these evenings out are debilitating. They may even lead to the death of the party concerned. You go out and stay out. You say, I cannot stand being in this house another minute with this... exclamation point, baby.
But indeed,
we must go out.
You're not really qualified if you have only one.
I don't know whether we've pointed it out yet or not, but there are three children in this family that lives on Hummingbird Hill. Now, that really is quite a family, Mr. Maloney. You have to watch that kind of thing.
And you've only been at it for 2.5 years. You don't know anything yet.
Well...
Obviously, Mr. Maloney has been completely disqualified from talking about babysitters, maybe even about literature. I wouldn't know. What do you think, Mr. Maloney?
I'll give up the franchise on literature, but the baby I do know a good deal about. No, you think more about your first baby, and you've arrived at a great many conclusions by the time the...
Well, and there's one other thing we ought to point out, of course. Mr. Maloney's baby is obviously a genius. He is obviously the best baby who was ever born to anyone. Wouldn't you agree, Mr. Maloney?
Somewhere near that, yes.
For the first time this afternoon, we have an affirmative statement from Mr. Maloney.
Well, now, I don't think this marriage is a very good marriage. I'm partner to a happier marriage than that. We don't snarl and bicker and get through the evening with a bottle of brandy.
What type of liquor do you drink of an evening?
Sometimes none at all. And this seems to me the average, normal, unhappy American marriage. And the sad thing is that Mrs. Davenport and our critic believe it's good.
Do you have anything to say in your defense about that, Miss Peterson?
Why, certainly. I didn't think that was an unhappy marriage. I thought it was the average difficulty of two people getting together and pulling the same cartload, and that they'd finally decided with great affection and sincerity to pull together, and even with quite a lot of verve. And...
Oh, it's when two people decide to pull together that hope is gone.
And
in opposite directions. That's the answer.
There's another thing that impressed me about the book and about Mr. Maloney's criticism, the fact that the husband, who was one of the brightest men who ever graduated from the Harvard Law School, and I quote, had to give up law temporarily to work, I think, in a shipping yard, wasn't it, Mrs. Davenport? Well, now, this was a rather difficult decision for a young man who was a brilliant Harvard graduate to make. That might have been a slight strain on the family, wouldn't you think so?
No, because it was during the war.
And you think anything went during the war?
As everyone else did.
And the mere fact that the profession had changed meant nothing.
Oh, but he was tired. You did bring out the fact that he was extra tired when he came home.
Well, I think it seems to me I'm rather distressed to hear everybody take it so seriously.
Well, you have to.
It's just supposed to be almost a farce.
Well,
it didn't occur to me that anybody was going to talk about the institution of marriage.
Why not? The more farcical your story, the more truly foundation, more well-built the foundation should be.
Well, of course, one thing that disturbed me. I might explain, Mrs. Davenport, that I'm a bachelor, although possibly not for long. And the thing that really worried me a lot was the fact that this poor husband had to work so hard. He came home from a hard day at the shipyards. He was tired. He wanted to relax. He wanted to have a glass of brandy, perhaps. Mr. Maloney wouldn't, but he would. And instead, he had to work all evening. He had to wash diapers. He had to wash dishes. He had to help his wife.
Oh, he didn't wash the diapers. Only the dishes?
Good husbands wash the dishes. How do you feel about that, Miss Peterson? Do you think it's all right for husbands to wash dishes? I hope not. But what do you think?
I like it better when they dry them, just for the sake of the dishes.
Are you an old dishwasher yourself?
Yes, I wash, and my wife dries.
Do you like Lux or Rinso better?
Here's something very interesting. My mother was the first woman to use soap flakes for the dishes. My mother was the first woman to use soap flakes for the dishes.
This is not the fact that you're going to be paid by someone.
No,
I'm merely mentioning it information-wise.
I'm not going to mention the brand name, but she did.
Thank you very much, Mr. Maloney.
You're welcome.
Not. Are we all soap chip users here? See, as a bachelor, I think I don't know about these things.
Well, they'll make you sneeze, but there's nothing else to use.
I see. Now, there's one other thing I'd like to talk about just briefly. Again, getting back to the book, we seem always to get into something besides the book. But getting back to the book for just a moment, I was rather impressed by the fact that this young couple were always going to parties on Hummingbird Hill, and they frequently didn't have a very good time. And I couldn't decide why they went to parties if they weren't going to have a good time. Miss Peterson, did that impress you at all?
No, I didn't get the feeling they went to so very many parties.
You thought these were gay parties.
But I don't think you can have an awfully good time at a party if, from the point of view, again, as a mother, if you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you read to the little ones and you get the breakfast and you wash the dishes and you cope with the genius sitter, about whom, incidentally, I have as little to say as everybody else because he's rather a curiously unalive thing, about as unalive as the head that the heroine made of him. In other words, he's stony.
Well, we've all agreed on that, including for one rather rare moment, the author.
And how can you have a good time at a party after having put in a day like that?
I don't think we have to ask Mr. Maloney about this at all, because obviously he isn't
a
party going.
No,
he stays home at night reading a good book with the baby.
Well, look at him.
Unfortunately, it would take too long. Mr. Maloney is much too large for me to attempt to describe him for those who are on the radio. But, Mrs. Davenport, how do you feel about going to parties? Did you think that was much fun? The parties in the book, didn't they strike you as being rather dull, or were they?
Oh, I'm sorry. Then they were just badly written. They weren't meant to be any duller than most parties.
I guess they weren't.
Well, then I think we ought to ask Miss Preston, who sits at home while young married couples go to parties, whether she thought the descriptions of parties in the book really made it worthwhile for a couple to call her up to watch the baby.
Well, I would not think so. In the majority of cases, when I go out in the evening, people are going to something that is really worthwhile. They're not just going out to play all the time, in other words. They use the evenings to go to good theaters, and they sometimes come back, and I'll stay and talk with them about it. And they'll tell me the story and so forth.
Well, I think what happens here...
On
Ms.
your
Preston,
time or theirs?
Well, I will admit that I do it on my time. When they come home, I consider my evening is over.
Well, I think what's happened here, Miss Preston, is that you're just a nice, tight babysitter. You're a very likable but unusual
That's
type babysitter.
That's a terrible understatement.
There's one other thing, too. Miss Preston, and maybe the members of the radio audience could help us on this, she mentioned before the broadcast that she wished someone would think of a new term instead of babysitters. It isn't true, she says, and she doesn't like it. So if any suggestions come in, we'll be glad to have them. I'm sorry, but now I think our time is up, both for the author and for the critics. I'll be back in just a moment to tell you about next week's program. But first, here's a word from our announcer.
Our book today, Belvedere, was recently published by Bob's Merrill and became popular all over the country. It was received with enthusiasm by the editorial department of the Book of the Month Club when, along with several hundred other books, it was read for submission to the judges as a possible Book of the Month Club selection. In the opinion of the editorial board, Belvedere may be compared to a local Mrs. Miniver set in Hummingbird Lane in Kentucky. It is good summer reading, done with a sense of humor, and an unexpected twist. While it was not selected as a Book of the Month, it was added to the growing list of books which present members of the Book of the Month Club can choose in addition to or in place of the regular monthly selection. Special members editions of nearly 50 popular, important books are now available in this way as part of a plan to help satisfy the literary tastes of the hundreds of thousands of families who now belong to the club and who wish to read an important book each month, even though the regular selection may not appeal to them. This growing list of books is included each month in the special supplement to the Book of the Month Club News. Each month, the news reviews the current selection and reports on many other important books, books which may be secured either through the club or through the local bookstore. If you are not now a member of the Book of the Month Club, you may get a free copy of the current issue of the Book of the Month Club News by writing to the Book of the Month Club, care of WNBC, New York 20, New York. Now, Mr. Miller, what lies ahead for the author meets the critics?
Well, I think I ought first to explain that next week, and everybody will be very happy about this, Mr. McCaffrey will be back from Hollywood to resume his role as chairman on these programs. This afternoon's discussion on fatherhood, motherhood, good 5-cent cigars, summer reading, Louisville, Kentucky, babysitters, babies, and what have you, is going to lead off next week on the same show with Bud Schoenberg's new novel about the prize fight racket called The Harder They Fall. Joshua Loth Liebman's popular bestseller, Peace of Mind, is coming up soon. William L. Shirer's sequel to Berlin Diary, entitled End of Berlin Diary. Edward J. Flynn's story of a life in a practical politics called You're the Boss. I might add, incidentally, that I think I'm wrong about next week. I think Mr. Schoenberg's novel comes up in the near future, but not next week. In any case, you can always keep up to date on the best of books with The Author Meets the Critic. And now, before closing, I'd like to thank Mrs. Gwen Davenport for being the very kind and gentle authoress this afternoon and to talk about her new novel, Belvedere, and also to thank you, Russell Maloney, who maligned the book, and also Miss Virgilia Peterson, who liked the book and being our guest critics this afternoon. This is Merle Miller saying good afternoon for The Author Meets the Critics.
Bob Terry speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.